Hello, and welcome to Building Sustainability Podcast. I'm your host, Geoffrey Hart, aka Geoffrey the Natural Builder. Building Sustainability consists of conversations with designers, builders, makers, dreamers, and doers, exploring the wide world of sustainability in the built environment by talking to wonderful people who are doing excellent things. Hello, and welcome to episode 48 of Building Sustainability Podcast. It is great to have you here. This week, I have a conversation for you with Emma Pyle. Emma is part of the drafting team at the National Theatre in London, and she has built herself and now lives in a tiny house. So Emma was one of the handful of people who reached out to me when I announced that I was building a tiny house to offer help and advice. She very kindly let me come and visit her and see her tiny house and ask all of the many, many questions I had. It was both incredibly inspiring and so, so helpful. So in this episode, we discuss the design process, the all-important weight limit, finding a spot to park and live and how to do that, tips for building, and the tiny house community. So we chatted for ages. So over on the Patreon site is about 15 minutes more conversation, which focuses a lot on where to ask for help and some of the pitfalls within that. And also some reflections from Emma on how the process of building a tiny house has helped her in her drafting work. So that is available at patreon.com/buildingsustainability. And a super bonus episode, only available on the Patreon site, is with Flo Hamer, who you might recognise from episode 10. If you haven't heard that one, go back and listen to it after this. Flo's episode is our most popular episode ever. And we sat down one lockdown evening and recorded a Zoom chat where I asked her all of the tiny house questions that I had at that point in my figuring out of how to build this thing. And I've edited out most of the bits where we just ascended into endless giggles. And the bit where I was quite rude about a documentary filmmaker. But the rest, the good stuff that you actually want to hear, is in there. So if you're thinking of building a tiny home or you just want to know more about them, I think it's a great listen. So yeah, that's an hour and 10 minutes of conversation. Only available on the Patreon site, patreon.com/buildingsustainability. What else to say? Yes, bite size. Apologies for the lack of bite size episode last week. There was too much going on, and I've got an episode which needs some quite complicated editing. So it'll be with you in the coming weeks. Apologies if you were expecting that. On the topic of bite-sized episodes, what do you think of them? It's very difficult to know if they're worth continuing. The stats, the download stats say that they're less interesting than the main episodes. I don't know. Should I keep bothering? Maybe if you've got a strong opinion either way, you could drop me a message via the website, buildingsustainabilitypodcast.com. I think that's it from me. I'm back at the end. Enjoy the episode with Emma Pyle.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I think that the main thing for me was that I wanted the design challenge. It wasn't necessarily about the living situation and what that would offer me, and that sort of came a lot later. But I've worked in theatre for 12, 15 years, and in my day job, I work for the designers. I trained as a designer myself, but I was much better off just supporting them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there helping designers create their vision all the time. And so I wanted to do that for me, finally, on something that meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Why a house, I guess. What could be more satisfying than building your own home?
Yeah.
And then just to have that home itself, to have that flexibility of being able to be anywhere, it's just such a gift.
Yeah.
I think the first thing was definitely a design challenge. Can I do this crazy thing? Mm-hmm. And even though I'm well aware from my job about trying to make things lightweight and movable and flexible and malleable and all those sort of things, you'd think I'd be a bit better at doing this bit. And my God, was it a shocker. There's so many things I thought I would know and I didn't, because it's also building a house. Mm-hmm. And I've never built a house before.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really stupid thing to say.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that's quite a thing with tiny homes in general. It's like there's a big DIY feeling to them, and it's like an achievable first house build.
Yeah, absolutely. I think lots of people, they watch these programs where there are lots of self-builders out there doing their thing, and so much of it seems really unachievable, and this actually felt like something you can do. And I certainly thought I could until I started. And then I was like, no, I can't do this. But I'm in it now. I've got to go for it. And I think that you can really worry yourself to death about the unknown, or you can just start. Mm-hmm. And go, I'll worry about that later. And that was my mentality throughout the whole thing. Was okay, I'll deal with that when I get to it. And there's that whole you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And why worry about it? It will come up at some stage, and then you'll deal with it and you'll figure out what went wrong.
Nice. And so you sort of alluded to what you your day job there. Mm-hmm. What is that?
So my day job is I am a drafts person, and I work for the National Theatre, and I've been there for a long time, 12 years. Mm-hmm. So essentially that means that I draw the scenery in a technical manner in order for it to be built. So I am like a conduit between the designers, the set designers, and the workshops. And we have on-site workshops, mm-hmm. which is such a fortunate position to be in. So I do the drawings to help the guys on the floor build. And then I help get it into the theatre on stage and in the right place, hopefully.
Uh-huh. And the right weight.
And the right weight. Yeah. Nothing falling out the sky, please.
Yeah. So in the sort of design element of the tiny house, what were, I mean, I'm talking about this because I'm going through the process right now.
It's so exciting.
It's so overwhelming. So the sort of first thing I did was I thought about all the things that are really important for me to be able to do in my house.
Yeah.
And so what were some of those for you? Or were you even sort of conscious of that when you were designing it?
Oh, I was completely conscious of it. Yeah, I think having, I'm in my early 30s. I have probably as an adult lived in 4 or 5 different places. And you learn so much about yourself and how you are and what your routines are and what you enjoy doing in your day and what things are really important to you. So that was, you get one shot at making your house, in theory, and you want it to just be perfect. You just want, this thing's got to suit you entirely. Mm-hmm. Because no one wants to retrofit things. I mean, you do, but let's do it right from the very beginning. And I think that's a huge pressure that
I'm definitely feeling. Yeah,
you're gonna. So there were things like, for me, getting ready. I like to kind of take my time getting ready in the morning and having some space and like in all the sort of tiny houses and like van stuff you look at. The bathroom always ends up being really, really tiny. And I could not have that in my house. I really wanted to have more space. So that's what I did. Like, I designed the bathroom to be a pretty big space. I'd say it's like 2.5 meters square almost, mm-hmm. And I've got plenty of room to, the sliding door has a mirror on the back of it. I've got plenty of wardrobe space and like I can stand up because you can't stand up in your bedroom because it's a mezzanine. So I just really wanted to make that space comfortable for myself. So that was really important to me. It was really important to me that I had a nice loungy area. However, my lounge area is also where I eat. It's also where I work. So there's so many different functions for that. I'm not quite sure I cracked that completely, mm-hmm. but that is kind of an adjustable thing that I think I can work on. And then another really key thing for me was the bedroom just being like a haven, just like a nest, just like this. I love bed. I love sleep. And that just needed to be just really lovely. And for me, one of the deal breakers was having roof lights, mm-hmm. Roof windows, sorry. And they was just such a bugger to fit. I think Dad and I fit them like 3 or 4 times before it was right. Mm-hmm. It was a huge amount of money and time and like just work to get them to work, but they are worth it so much. And it creates such an amazing atmosphere up there. Like whether it's first thing in the morning and you see like birds prancing around, or at night when you can see the sky from just like lying in bed and you see the stars, like it's just out of this world. It's amazing. And also the kitchen. I love cooking and didn't want to skimp on kitchen space, so I maxed that out as much as I dared.
Mm.
And then everything else kind of had to fit around that.
Yeah.
So those are my key things.
And then sort of how long did you, or like how many different variations of layout do you think you went through trying to make that fit in a way that was suitable?
You start off with one and then you tweak it and then you tweak it and then you tweak it until you're like, oh, this is all completely different. Maybe I should just chuck all of this out the window and start again. And so you do that maybe, I think the whole chuck it out and start again, maybe 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the time was just lots of little tweaks, like, do you want the door on this side or at the end, and what happens to all the other things that you want if you do that? And yeah, although, you know, and I mean, I'm so lucky that I have the skill set that I do with knowing how to draw on CAD, and that being a really quick and easy process for me to work through. You know, I should imagine it's a lot harder when you're doing pen and paper, and not that it's any less effective, it works. But I already have that discipline, and it was just so useful. It was so useful throughout, and it was, I'm so glad that, you know, maybe I can't design very well, maybe I can't, you know, make things very well, but damn it, I can draw.
Play to your strength.
Yeah, so that got me out of quite a few holes, and actually made me feel, whenever I was drawing, I felt comfortable again. I was like, I'm going to figure this problem out by drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if actually it doesn't, that doesn't help me in the end, it's my process, and that's what I kept sort of coming back to. But yeah, so actually that part of the layout was so easy for me, and the bit that I would do again and again and again, because it's so easy and actually fun, it's just a lovely little challenge.
Yeah, I've definitely been enjoying that, and I tried, so I've been to Flo's tiny house, and I was like, I saw that design and I was like, well, that's obviously like a great design.
Yeah.
And so my first iterations looked like that. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do the same thing. And I've tried literally every other way.
But
and
she cracked it.
She's done really well. And I've ended up back at that sort of similar design.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, damn it, Flo.
Can't top it.
Yeah.
But your trailer is bigger.
Yes. Yes. And one of the things that I, my like must have things is like a space for me to stretch.
And
coming from the narrow boat, it's like, it's a tiny little space. There's no, like at no point could I lie down and not be touching like six things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a really interesting, like, designing in a space which has nothing. Really fun little, like...
It is so much fun. I'm sorry, that's the peak fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
Great. It's all downhill from here.
No, that sounds terrible. It's like the land of anything is possible.
Yeah.
And that's just such a lovely place to be. Yeah, enjoy that bit. It's so much fun.
I'm nearly coming to the end of that bit now. But then I'm about to, you know, get into the bit where I think I excel, and
then you come to your safety net.
Yes, my comfortable.
I know
zone.
What I'm doing here. Good. Yeah, that's good.
So in your design, what I think is really interesting, and I've just sort of understood it, is your bathroom and you making it so big, so because that's your sort of get ready space. You've actually done that really simply, just by sort of moving the door. You could have pushed that door back towards the bathtub and had that like tight, you know, compact space with storage cupboards outside. And you've actually just moved the door
to the other side.
To the other side,
yeah.
But created like a really luxurious, space to be in.
Yes,
it's very clever.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I love it. I mean, I really do enjoy getting ready in there. I was a little bit worried about light.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that, like, I decided on the little porthole window, just because it felt like it tied in with the rest of the place. But actually light's not a problem, and on the back of the door has got the full length mirror, so it bounces a lot of light around, which is also great. And yeah, and it just means that, like, I'm just in one place and I'm not moving around and not having to go out into a different room that's perhaps a bit colder or something like that. And it's just all very contained and it's in that place. And then I don't know. It works for me. Mm-hmm. I really love the space that's in there. And like that seems like a really strange thing to say in a tiny house. Like, I've got so much space. But I really do feel like I do in there. And I think that, you know, that's almost one of the biggest bathrooms I've ever had. You know, I've lived in flats in London, like, for 15 years. And yeah, that's a big bathroom by London standards. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, nice. Mm. You've got yourself a wood stove.
I do, yep.
How's that been? Was that an easy sort of decision to make in terms of how to heat?
I didn't really consider many other alternatives. I was quite keen on the idea. I think if I had, you know, I've never had a stove or a fire in anywhere I've lived before, so it was a real... It's been a real learning curve. I mean, even, you know, since having it, like going for 6 months and just understanding how to use it efficiently, safely, and then all the things that come with it, the you know, the cleaning of it, the burning safe things and not burning stuff that is going to poison you or the atmosphere, and mm-hmm. Management of the ash and, you know, all this sort of stuff, which, you know, anyone who knows anything about log burners is going to go, what an idiot. Why didn't she know about this? But I didn't. And so I don't know why I just went, oh yeah, wood burner, why not? That's going to be easy. It's not, it's really hard.
It's got learning to it, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm still learning. And actually, I want to learn more. I found a book in a charity shop just before Christmas about wood burners. And I was like, well, I have one and I'm using it, but I want to know more. So I'm going to buy this book and find out more because I still think there's so much to this that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I think it is kind of not a lifetime thing. You don't learn enough over a lifetime, but certainly... I think it takes a few years to get to know it and to work out how to use it. Like, you know, the few times that I've accidentally, you know, lit the fire, made it burn really hot, and then I've started cooking like an absolute idiot, and then I'm suddenly sweating in here, going open a window, like, what an idiot. So there's all these sorts of little things that you get to know. And you figure out as you go along, like, well, don't do that again, because that's just like a waste of energy. And you get really annoyed at yourself and you're like, no, I'm sweating so much here, but I don't want to open a window because it's a waste of heat and I should conserve it. And I decided to buy new because I was too afraid of going down the secondhand route. Not mm-hmm. that it's not a possibility. I'm sure lots of people are able to do it amazingly, and it's very safe, and I knew that I didn't know a lot of stuff about it, so I was like, I'll just start with a new machine, as it were, and figure out as I go along.
Nice.
So yeah,
it's a very beautiful little thing.
Yeah, it is very pretty, and it's a nice little feature as well, I think. And there's just nothing like watching a fire burn, is there?
It's just something like deeply mesmerizing, isn't it?
I'm almost sad that we're, you know, I am such a spring summer person, but I'm almost sad the winter's over because I'm going to miss that little glow.
Oh, you could open all the windows and you just fire her up again. I mean, so yeah, you sort of just touched on it there, but how was, and I imagine this is something that a lot of people worry about, is sort of like how the winter months are.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, I would have loved to have a bit more summer in this place before I was chucked right into it. But no, my first seasons were autumn and winter, which was good. Makes you get to know the house quite quickly. The winter was fine. I think we had, you know, quite a mild winter, really. Mm-hmm. So
We're not out of it yet. Don't worry.
I keep thinking we are. And then I, you know, keep being proved wrong with my water hose freezing like the idiot that I am. Yeah, huge learning curve here, people. Yeah, the winter was good. I mean, when we had a week of like 0 degrees and stuff, the house was fine, you know, like I was obviously burning more fuel than I would normally, but I had already stocked up for that, so that was all fine. And it was toasty in here, and like I was fine, but all of my friends and family were contacting me. Are you okay, Emma? Are you okay? You live in a shed. Are you all right? Are you sure you're warm enough? Like, yes, I'm fine.
I've had so many like winters of that on the boat. It's like, if you want to just come around and sleep in a nice warm house, you can.
Absolutely.
I'm fine. It's a small space for the good heater.
Exactly. And I think that's what I've got. And, you know, I have like a ridiculous amount of togs in my duvet.
All the togs.
Yeah, I think I've got like 20, 30 togs.
That's a lot of togs.
I know, I had to take some togs out. too many togs. But my grandmother was very pleased with the amount of togs I had.
How are you going to do in summer with so many togs?
I'm just going to have to lose it somewhere. No, they're coming out. Open all the windows. You know, that's what's great about having the windows up there as well, is that, you know, whenever it has got really hot in here, just open both the windows and you get this lovely little through breeze coming through. It is so nice.
It's classic sort of passive ventilation style. Have venting at the top where you can just like get rid of all that hot air.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
You just knew it intuitively.
Yeah, that's what we'll tell people. Yeah. So much of this house is a mistake, but it would work.
So the thing that's bothering me, so as I'm probably at 90% designed, and maybe the last 10% might have to wait until I'm actually in the walls to know quite where everything's going.
Yeah.
So my current thing, and it's something we've talked about, is weight.
Yeah.
And I am like spending a lot of time working out how much I've calculated how much everything in the house is going to weigh. It's like, what does a duvet weigh? What does a mattress weigh?
You did duvet.
I meant to say mattress, but I said duvet.
But still, even how mattresses, many... you can take a mattress out.
Yeah.
I know it's not ideal. You don't want to, but.
It's definitely like there's a category of, well, there's a list of, you know, these are the permanent things and these are the removable things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's frightening how quickly it adds up.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. I mean, you know, that whole the triangle of what is it again? It's time, money, quality.
Yeah.
Weight.
That's the tiny house triangle.
That's the tiny house triangle. Okay, you've got to put weight in there. And almost it goes to the top of this square triangle thing.
Yeah.
Because it just dictates everything. And at times it's the most frustrating thing, especially when you're trying to build it in like an eco way and you're trying to make really responsible decisions. But your hands are tied by the weight aspect of things, and it's really disappointing sometimes, because you're like, oh, I've got so many great ideas. There are so many great materials I'd love to use. I mean, you must be like tearing your hair out, because you've got all this amazing material knowledge, and half of which you probably can't use because it's too heavy.
Definitely. Like, everything I've ever built before is way too heavy for this build.
Yeah, and that must be so frustrating. And so, yeah, I mean, like, so in my job, I have to calculate the weights of what we put on stage and stuff. And so I already knew how to do that. And for anyone that's going to build a tiny house, like, you have to look at this stuff. And so I spent a lot of time at the beginning, like you did, trying to work all these things out. And my conclusion was I can build the shell and I can clad all of it on the inside. I can paint it and, you know, insulation and all the rest of it. But I can't have anything in it when it's moving. Right. And so all of the furniture inside is removable, even my kitchen. There are a couple of things like the stove, obviously because of the flue aspect, and like the bathtub, which is like sealed in, and the oven, which has a gas connection, which I don't want to mess with. So other than that, everything else comes out. And so that was a big, that was such a huge part of the making of everything is you're not just like bashing it in and it's done. You have to make it removable. And that's also then my theatre knowledge kicked in, which was like a blessing, because you do have to, in theatre, you have to make stuff fold up and go behind the curtain kind of thing. You can't, you know, and like with my job, we work in rep theatre, so we have two shows on at the same time. So one of the shows has to fold up, just magically fold up and go away and be backstage and then come out again in the next week. And so that's how I treated the house. It's like, it's just a big theatre show and everything has to fold away and be takeoutable and then put backable, like really well put backable.
That's
not a thing. So everything cut in here comes out, because otherwise I would totally be over my limit.
Do you think that, because it's not like it's not a super substantial sort of frame, and what is it, a 3x2?
Yeah, 3x2. And then like all the cladding on the outside, I it's all pallet wood, but I ripped it all down. I planed it all down and took...
Nice, that's dedication to the weight.
I mean, that took... Yeah, it was dedication.
I really appreciate that.
I knew you were good. We must have spent at least 2 to 3 weeks planing down all the pallet wood. So it was like 7 mil thinner, generally.
What is it? It's about 20 mil to start with.
Yeah. So it's all down to about 13, 14.
Yeah.
Just to shave off that weight. And so I think that also is a thing that when people look at my house, they go, oh my God, that weighs tons.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, pallet wood isn't as thick as you think it is.
It's a trick.
It is. It's an illusion. Theatre. Oh my God, so many bags of sawdust.
Yeah. All for the compost loo?
Oh, no. Because it was just like, it was so far at the beginning and like, I should have, totally. Oh. I mean, yeah. Do that if you ever do pallet wood, definitely, yeah. Weight. Terrible, yeah. Terrible stuff. But it's a really interesting journey to go on. It just puts a different dynamic in there. And at times... it will make you scream, and at times you're like, this is a really creative challenge I have here. What am I going to do? And then when you come up with a solution, it's so much more satisfying.
My big revelation at the moment was this cork, using cork as a external insulation, and it's a facade. It's like, ooh, double purpose. Yeah. Therefore I'm saving, and therefore I can like add a little bit more, maybe.
It's so crafty.
Maybe. I don't know. This is all like plans that I haven't yet fully like weight costed.
Yeah.
I'm sort of putting that off a little bit.
Just do it. Just bung it in the spreadsheet as quick as you can, because it will still be there.
And I thought your mantra was just don't worry about it, put it off.
I know, but I don't listen to me. Wait.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey there, I'm Mick from the Mick and Pat Show.
That's right, and I'm Pat.
Looking for a podcast that's like catching up with old friends? Well, you're in luck.
We're here to bring you weekly doses of lifestyle commentary, discuss culture and politics, and top it off with the occasional beer and film reviews.
But it's not just about us. We're a community. Our listeners are our kin, and we let you all have a say in what we discuss.
So saddle up and join the conversation at the Mick and Pat Show. You can check out our website or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got the same trailer, haven't we?
Yep. 6.6.
Oh, yeah. And so what is the weight limit?
3.5 tons.
Okay. And what's
including the trailer?
Yes. So how much does that leave?
600, which leaves you 2.9.
Okay. Which seems like a lot of tons.
It's not. It's not at all. It's a tiny amount of tons. And like when you sort of, you know, like when you see like bus conversions and stuff like that, they have so much more. It's not fair. But, you know, they've got all the, you know, the mechanics of the of it being a vehicle.
Yes.
Which whatever. But yeah, I just wish it would increase ever so slightly. Because it's such a limit. It really is.
What does it mean? As in, if you go over 3.5 tons, what does it mean for you being able to move your house?
Well, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to move it if it's over that. Which, you know,
that's a big part.
It's a big part of what you're doing anyway. So, yeah, you kind of have to swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. And it's part of the challenge. And I think that so much creativity comes out of restricting factors.
Definitely. Yeah.
And something I'm always banging on about at work as well is like, give designers more, you know, things to work against, and they'll be so creative and it's so magical to see. And I think that I think at the end of the journey, like I am, you can go, oh, wasn't that a wonderful challenge? And then when you're in it, it's a headache.
Yeah, that's definitely
a you need to do it, and you need to abide by the rules on that one.
All right.
You know you do. You're a builder.
I've never had to deal with weight, though. So heavier is better normally.
Yeah.
And what does sort of like, what's the life that this place gives you?
Oh, it's just so wonderful. It makes me smile. Like every day it makes me smile. And and it's a different thing every day as well. Sometimes you're just chuffed that you live in something that you built.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because you have access to so much more outdoor space. Like I've lived in London for 15 years, as I've said already, and I've never in that time had access to a garden, a shared garden, let alone, you know, having a field on my doorstep now is just... It just still feels so magical. And I am so much closer to nature. It just feels so much more within touching distance. And watching the seasons go past. I mean, it's only been two so far, but I'm just so looking forward to seeing it all. And like most recently from my bedroom window, I've got a tree that goes over the top, and you know, I can start to see the buds coming out on all the branches, and like that's just, I've never seen that before. I'm 33 years old and I've never watched that happen, and that's terrible. So I'm so grateful that I have all of these things. And like I felt like, you know, when I started this journey, I started it because I wanted a life more like this, but I didn't appreciate what all of those details would be until I was here. I didn't know what I didn't know. And now I see all of these things and I'm just like amazed by them every day, even though they've always happened. And I've just never noticed them. And that's just such a shame. I've got so much catching up to do. But it's just some days I feel like I'm on holiday and I'm actually just in my home.
Nice. That's the way to live.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So let's talk about your where you live. Mm-hmm. Like how, what is this place? How did it come about?
So a huge part of it, I feel like, is luck. But then also, I think it's a lot about what you put out there. And it's, this didn't just kind of fall in my lap. I live in this amazing farm in the south of England, in a kind of like a woodland area, which was actually a place where in World War II there were a load of Canadian soldiers that lived here, building some stuff, and I live on one of like the little concrete foundations that they made for their temporary housing back then. And it's kind of a farm type situation. There are a few fields around. There's an amazing craft brewery next door.
Bonus.
Just like score. And, you know, there are sheep and pigs and it's all very nice. But it came about because I started building without anywhere to go.
Where were you building?
I was building in Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire, which is where my parents live. So I could get my dad to help me out. That's where I was building. And then when I was trying to find somewhere to live, I knew it had to be south of London somewhere, because I still work in central London, so easy access in there was necessary. My first approach was just to contact lots of farms.
Mm-hmm.
No one really wanted me.
Well, what was your sort of, did you just sort of send an email going like, I've got a little house.
Yeah.
Can I come and live with you?
Yeah. And like some, you know, I'd do my research on the farms and like see whether it would be even vaguely appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And then see like, what could I offer you in return? Obviously I can pay rent, but also, is there something else that I can give where this can be a mutually beneficial arrangement? Like, you know, you one farm, I think they ran like a sort of like a festival every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I can help out with a festival. You know, I'm from that world. Let me help you on that. And so, you know, every email that I sent was so bespoke. And really, it was kind of like writing a covering letter when you apply to a job. And like, it's like, oh God, this is really hard. But you have to sell yourself. And you have to, you know, you're a crazy person coming out of left field going, will you have me in my little house? And by that point, I had built the outside and that was all finished and I was working on the inside, so I felt like I had something to offer in terms of going, this is actually what it looks like.
Yes, they know what they're getting. It's not
going to be a surprise.
Caravan idea, yeah, is maybe in people's heads.
Yeah, so it's caravans, or like, or they might Google tiny houses themselves and then they'll see a load of American things and like, no, that's not what
very,
I'm
very
doing.
Big.
Yeah, it's a lot smaller. And so, you know, it was a tricky balance of understanding what to write in these emails and trying to make them personal and trying to make it, like I say, so it felt like everyone was getting something out of me being there, hopefully. But nothing really came of that. And then I started emailing all of the transition towns, which I thought, well, you know, they're all very like-minded people into, you know, sort of an eco way of life. They might be a good bet in terms of like knowing people in their towns that might have fields or, you know, are interested. And so I met this through I think I emailed like 20 transition towns and maybe half of those got back to me. Two of which actually had something to say and go, oh, we could maybe do something. So it was actually Sussex that got back to me, forwarded my emails to a few people, and one of which ran a wonderful community charity called Sussex Green Living, I believe. And I went to a party that the charity was running for their volunteers, and I met some other people, and that's how I ended up here. So, but before that journey, I'd met so many other people and like made the effort, and you know, it's such a long journey. And so many people think that they need to have that in the bag before they start, which I think is really sensible. And I take my hat off to those people that persist with that. But I just didn't have the patience. And I didn't think, I thought, you know what, I can't sell this to people until I've done it. So I need to do it and then find somewhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I needed that because I needed to just start it. And I couldn't deal with things being too theoretical for too long. I'm a bit impatient like that. I just want things to be there and done. And then, like, once this thing is in existence, well, it has to go somewhere. And because it's a movable thing, I'm going to keep coming up against this. I'm going to keep having to find places to be. And so let's just get used to that. And, you know, the downside of it is that you plan when, because I didn't know where I would be, I planned for all eventualities when it came to services.
Yeah.
So water and gas and electric, you sort of make it so you could probably handle it. Being put in a field with nothing around you, you know, wouldn't be ideal, but and go, okay, live in this thing. And I could probably just about have done that. You know, and actually I've ended up in a place where so much of my services is so easy and accessible, and I didn't have to worry about half the things I was worrying about. So there's this like backwards and forwards of what's the better way around to do it.
Yeah.
For me, I was so lucky, and I love where I am so much. I love the people that surrounded me. I love the people that took me in. please have me. and it's worked out amazingly well. I'm very, very lucky. But we'll see. We'll see. And we'll see when or if I move on and where that will be and how hard that will be. Yeah, you know, finding a new spot that's as great as this one.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've been smart in the design, in the sort of plan for the hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, you don't want if the only option you get is to be somewhere without water, then you know, you've got to live with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and yeah, it's part of the sort of temporary life. It's on wheels, and certainly I'm thinking about it in that way, like what if sometime down the line circumstances change, even though it seems set for now.
But isn't it amazing that you can move your home and just like the views that are outside your window can change.
Yeah.
They don't always have to be the same.
Oh, you could just pirouette round.
I mean,
completely change.
Exactly.
If you want your kitchen view to be the other way.
Yeah. And you can just like, you know, it's not easy towing one of these things. It's, you know, it will take a lot of, when I do it again, it will take a lot of planning, a lot of prep, and it will have to be a certain time of year. You know, you can't move it in the winter out of a field.
Because of the mud and the...
Because of the mud and the weight, and, you know, it's just, you wouldn't do it. You have to move in the summer, unless you're going to stay on tarmac the whole time. So, you know, it is a big deal when you move this thing. But, like, once you've done it, you go, my house moves. It wasn't that easy. And now I'm in a different place. And I just think that's kind of magical. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about the moving process, because you've moved once.
I've moved once.
How was that?
The most terrifying few days of my life, for sure. It was, I mean, I was so fortunate. We had a local truck hire company come to move me. Shout out to Aylesbury Truck Hire Company.
Nice.
You wonderful people. You were amazing. Yeah, so I was building in a field and I was parked on grass. And on the last day of summer, the truck guy was like, let's just get you out of here quickly before the rain comes. And so, you know, we emptied the place because we had already, you know, built all the kitchen and everything in, but we'd made it removable. So everything came out and went in the back of his 7.5-ton flatbed truck, which he was towing me with. And we got out of the field and it was so much easier than I thought. I thought we were really going to struggle. I thought it was going to get stuck. And he just glided it on out there. And I was like, this is magic. And then we did get a little bit stuck coming out. The height, hadn't considered that with house versus tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the solution there?
People climbed up trees and pulled branches out of the way. I mean, the roof did take a bit of a battering,
yeah,
which is something that I am still going to have a look at in the summer and fix. But at that stage, I was like, we have come so far, people. This thing is coming through. I mean, it's not staying here, blocking the drive. So, so we towed it to the truck hire place where it stood there for another couple of days before we were ready to move it to where I am now. That was about a 2-hour journey,
right,
around the M25. Ooh. Oh, and it was. Thrilling and amazing to watch your house in front of you on the M25. bless it. it was during COVID, so the roads were slightly clearer than they would be normally. And then we got to like a big town centre. And obviously we had to slow for traffic and just to see people double take and go, what did I just, was that a house? Did a house? And like nudge their mate and go, did you see that?
So and, like, you were following behind?
Right? I was following behind. And it was just, you know, I didn't sit back in my seat once. I was like just watching it, watching people watching it. And it was, I mean, it was terrifying. And God, I slept well the night after we moved, and just because of all the adrenaline of this thing that you've like created over the course of a year, and you've put everything into it. You've put all your money, you've put all your time, you've put all your father's time. you've put everything into this thing. It means so much to you, and there it goes, just riding down the motorway at 40 miles an hour. Swaying in the wind gently. but it made it, and the relief, my God, the relief when you've made it. And then afterwards you're like, well, that's good, that was easy, wasn't it, everyone? Wasn't that great? And everyone around you's going, you were a nightmare. it's just like a crazy, crazy thing to see your house moving. And great. And I can do it. I can do it again one day. And that would be great. And I'll have faith that it will actually do it, because for so long during the build, and it was, you know, getting deeper and deeper into this mud and this field, and I thought, this is never going to leave this field. And I would lay awake at night going, I'm just going to be stuck in that field forever. I don't actually see how I could ever get out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course it was going to get out, but.
Yeah, when you're awake in the middle of the night, things, rational fears aren't.
Yeah, they're the worst. Oh, God.
What are the big lessons, I guess, you've learned? What can you impart on me? Mm. Don't do this, Jeffrey. Oh, it's a terrible idea.
Don't build a child. No. No, definitely do it. It's the best thing. It is. It is the best thing. What would I do differently? I mean, I do wish I'd done a little bit more research, and you will be totally fine on this, but I wish I'd done a little bit more research generally about timber framed houses and how they breathe.
Okay.
I think I was so wrapped up in making this thing watertight that I'd forgotten about that. And that is something that I am coming across now, which I think I need to just keep an eye on and perhaps make some alterations to what I've done to make the house breathe better.
Okay.
I think when it comes to like big style appliances, not big because obviously it's a small house, but big appliances, that, you know, just check the guidance, you know, for health and safety, but also for just generally where everything has to go. There are so many rules when you put these things in, like, you know, pumps and water heaters and ovens, about distances and legislation about what can be close to what and where can you put plug sockets and where you can't. And you'll know all this, but it it's something that I didn't consider. And I think I wasted quite a bit of time later on down the line, like changing the design slightly. And that sort of stressed me out a little bit. But it kind of all worked out in the end. I think, I'm not sure how well this has come across in this interview, but everything I've said about how hard it was, please try and enjoy it. Enjoy the process. Because I think it is fun. I think it was fun. It was. And I have a couple of pictures in my living room that my amazing sister took of my dad and I building Tiny. And it's just, it just fills me with so much warmth looking at them and going, that was such a precious time. And it was so hot, like day to day, it was hard work, but it will all be worth it. And I think that was the thing, is that I just didn't know whether it would be. And it is. It 100,000% is.
Yeah.
It is. It's worth every bad day. It's totally worth it in the end. Enjoy it. Please, yeah, make the most of it. Because you'll never do it again, so.
Yeah.
Something's
gone probably pretty terribly wrong if I have to do it again.
I God, don't get to that stage. Yeah. Yeah, try and enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I am sort of telling myself. I'm prone to setting a deadline for a thing. Like, it might be, all right, by the end of the week, I need to finish this, or by the end of the day, finish this. And then, like, that sort of puts my blinkers on, and then I stop enjoying the process, and I just, like, have to do that. And I'm really telling myself, like, be present. You know, enjoy every day. Don't get caught up in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I hope those are the things that come about from my sort of commercial building mind, where it's a lot about, like, am I going to make any money if I go slowly and things like that. And then, you know, thankfully all the sort of pressures for that are off. But yeah, that's a thing I think I'm going to have to sort of like daily remind myself.
Yeah, yeah. I think I feel like every day after the build, I had a little moment where I would look at, you know, we'd pack everything away and whatever stage it was at, maybe like the last thing we had to do was like wrap the whole thing in tarpaulins. And that was a huge, big, annoying job to do. And then when you look back at it, it's just like this big tent.
Big ugly scruffy tent looking thing, tent. Yeah.
But still you're like, well, that exists because I'm doing something. And just that you are doing something, even if it goes wrong, like, you tried. And that I don't think gets given enough credit. And I don't think I let myself give myself enough credit for just trying something. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be rubbish at it in the end, but you tried. And like, so many people don't try. And I think that's a really valuable thing. And Yeah, I would have this little moment where I look back and go, okay, I'm doing this. Yay. You know, I'm doing it. And that's such a big leap from thinking about it and dreaming about it. You've had to do so much work to get to that stage, and you should value what you've achieved and what you've done so far, and try and forget about all how much stuff there is still left to do, because it is never ending.
Yes.
But I think you'll be more prepared for that because, you know, you're in the building trade and you know that things take longer then.
Yes. And finishing takes almost as long as building the whole rest of it.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Still not finished in here.
How, like, what percentage do you think you're at?
I think I am at 90%.
Okay.
That's not bad.
That's all right.
I think when I moved in, I was probably like 70%. So I've done a bit of work since.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a lot harder when you're living in it and trying to do it, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Yeah. Well, I'm just now finishing up all the little jobs on the boat because I've sold it, and like they need to be, it needs to be good and finished. And it's like, I've just done all the grouting.
Yeah.
That, it's like, why didn't I do that 4 years ago when I tiled that thing? It looks so nice, and it's just, oh, it feels complete and lovely.
Yeah.
For me to hand over to this other person.
Oh, that's a shame. But yeah. So I have kitchen tiles to do still. Mm-hmm. That's my big job. And actually, you know what? I'm quite pleased that I didn't get it all finished before I moved in, because I've learned a lot by living in it about finishing and finishes and what I want from that. And, you know, so much of the finishing stuff is like the fun stuff, you know, like sofa fabric and, you know, and tiles and things like that, and putting photos up and spice storage, you know, those fun things.
It's the things that turn it from like building into home.
Yeah. And so you like, when you're having a really bad day on the build, you're like, I just want to think about those things. And you allow yourself, or I did, a couple of hours of just browsing through fabrics or things like that and going, oh, what sort of biscuit jar shall I have?
Nice.
And give yourself a break. But then so when I moved in, I learned a lot about how I was living in the space. And as much as you think you know yourself and you're like, oh, I know I'm going to live like this, you don't. And then you learn all the different things about the house as well, and what it's offering you and what it's like at different times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you learn what you need to tackle first as well. And then you just get a lot of time in it, staring at it, going, that is a blank piece of wall right there that I need to do something with, or whatever. So, yeah, don't finish it too much before you move in. I don't know what your plans are, but...
I mean, I feel like if I don't finish it before I move in, then it just won't get finished. That's a really tricky balance. And I was just saying to someone yesterday, like, I'm going to be really good and I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're telling me to do the opposite.
Yeah. No, well, you know, there's a percentage. And I think I actually did it quite well. I think, you know, I finished in enough of the big jobs.
Mm.
So it was nice and comfortable to live in. And then I've done so much work to this place since I moved in. But it's all, I think it's all the better for it that I took the time over it rather than rushing it through so I can live
Definitely.
In it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Nice. So how do you feel about the UK sort of tiny home community? I mean, like, thinking about it, well, I was just at the online tiny homes conference,
mm-hmm.
and like the Australia scene's really big, the New Zealand scene's really big,
yeah.
America's got like quite a lot. What, how do you feel about it in the UK?
So when I was building, it felt really quiet. I knew that there were some people out there doing it, but not everyone's doing it, you know, everyone's doing it a little bit differently or in different environments and have different what's the word? Resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt very lonely building this, designing it, building it. I didn't feel like there was a lot of people out there that I could talk to and go, hey, what did you do with this? And, you know, because you're going, well, is this a... So instead you're going, is this like a caravan question? Or is this like a timber framed house question? Or like, oh, this is definitely a timber frame house question, but I have a weight thing that I need to discuss with someone. Mm. And like, and so you sort of, you know, you reach out to various people who you think might solve your problem on the internet, but they're all in their own little zones.
Yeah.
And it's not your zone. Your zone is like a mashup of everyone's. And it's really frustrating because it always comes down to you having to make the call. No one's going to tell you this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I just wanted someone to say, do it this way.
No. Here's the answer.
Yeah, here's the answer. There's never an answer. You have to make the answer. And that's a really lonely place to be. And so what I'm really excited about is, unfortunate for me, but great for other people, is that in the UK, this does seem to be getting bigger.
Mm.
And I get contacted quite regularly now with questions or just like comments and I, you know, I'll answer anyone and put that out there. Because I know how hard it is and there are so many amazing benefits that I think we'll all receive from there being more of these things in existence. I really do think that this is a wonderful community and it will be amazing once it really gets going. And so I am so excited that it really does feel like it's ramping up and people are making the leap and doing it. And I don't know whether it's because of like a pandemic lockdown and all the, you know, all of the massive changes that everyone's experienced in the last year, that everyone's just going, right, let's just do it, or I have to do it now, or what. I mean, yeah, you made the decision in the pandemic, so I'm so excited about it getting bigger and there being more of us out there and us forming this just amazing community. And I mean, I will come and help anyone build their tiny house.
You're hired.
I'm not an expert, and who's to say I'm any good at it? But if it's not my own and I don't have to have that responsibility, I can just rock up for the day and, you know, and help out.
Yeah.
I'd love it. Because I just think it's such an amazing thing to do. And it's such an achievement at the end. And I just want everyone else to feel that. And it's so much fun. And there are so many rewards to living like this. That I'm really excited for other people to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, certainly it seems like, I mean, obviously I've just kind of said, I'm building a tiny house. And so lots of people have suddenly gone, like, including yourself. Like,
yeah.
Ah, hello. And then I was talking to Flo the other day and she was saying, oh, one of my friends is just about to build a tiny house.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so there definitely does. Well, it's hard to know if it's, feels like there's momentum because I'm, you know,
you're more out there.
Yeah. But definitely. And I think that's good. Like, you know, certainly talking to you today, like we chatted for ages before we recorded this, but you've made like some of my anxieties go away and made me feel not like an idiot for being so obsessive about the weight.
It's like the most important thing.
Yeah. Nice. Is there anything else that you wanna say, or like it's an important part of the story? Or
just wanna give the biggest shout out to my dad for helping me do this, because this thing would not exist without him, and he's amazing.
Yeah. What's his background?
He's a carpenter.
Okay, perfect then.
Super useful. just fantastic. And it was great. It was just such an amazing thing to be able to do this with him. And the rest of my family and friends, I have to give huge shout outs to all of them as well, because they all helped at some point, whether it was like, you know, just driving me to Wix, or whether they were helping me wrap the house, or whether they were there on the barn raising, you know, like, or whether they were just like someone I could rant to about my latest technical problem.
So I had no understanding.
But they just let me get it off my chest. And believe me, all my friends know about the weight. They all know about my weight problem. I think that is part of the building journey, is that community that you build around you. Like, people love to be part of it, and you love for them to be part of it. And there are so many things I can look at around my house where I go, I remember that day when that person came and helped me with that, or Dad and I did this and it took five times as long as we thought it would, wasn't it worth it? And like, there's so many amazing memories just wrapped up in this building that it's just like one of the most precious things in my life. And I think that's just such a nice part of the journey, that, you know, the building of relationships, that's great.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Thank you so much to Emma for recording this conversation and for being so open to helping me out with so much information and encouragement. That bit at the end about community really struck me, and that sort of idea of, by inviting people in to help, you're making them part of the story. And it's not just good for you, it's good for them. It's connecting everyone, sort of creating that idea of oneness. So I'm up for trying to create some kind of community in the UK of tiny home builders and dwellers and hopefuls, both in terms of knowledge sharing, because there is a lot to think about and to get your head around. And I'd like to pass on all the knowledge that I'm about to learn when I'm done, but also just gathering like-minded people. I've gained so much more than just knowledge from meeting tiny home builders, and it would be really great to expand that. So as I say, there is more of this chat on the Patreon site, patreon.com/buildingsustainability, stuff about where to ask for help, and also a little bit more about Emma and the work she does and how building this tiny house has helped her in her work. Also, that whole bonus episode with Flo Hamer of Flo's Tiny House, which is not going to be available anywhere else, so only on the Patreon site. That's it. So subscribe if you've enjoyed the episode and you want to hear more great chats. If you've got a second, then leaving a review would be really great.
especially if you're on Apple. I think that might actually be the only place you can really leave a review. But if you find another place, leave one there. Good. All right. Well, enjoy the changing seasons and smile at strangers. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.